Dr. Kilby. I don't know if you remember me. I was in your Problems and Practice seminar at UNM nearly 15 years ago. It was the year you retired. I was the guy who was way too into Harrison cultural materialism, quoting Cannibals and Kings, while you were trying to teach us Geertz and interpreting cultures like a text. I could tell a lot of the other grad students just wanted me to shut up, but you always took time to listen to me, even though we didn't agree. I realize now that, going back to grad school in my 30s, if just once you had said to me, "You don't belong here. You don't have what it takes," I would have packed it in right there. But you always encouraged me. All of us. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate that. Well, I ended up finishing my PhD and picked up some adjunct work here and there. Occasionally I consult in cultural resource management when I can get it. Currently, I'm a visiting lecturer at Eastern New Mexico University in Portales. I remember you telling us about the program and the draw sites all of those years ago, and now I'm actually here. Everyone is really nice, and they have the most amazing sunsets. Different from Albuquerque, because it's so flat. The running joke here is that the farmer's dog ran away and he could still see him for 3 days. Some people say there's nothing to do here, but those people can't be trying. There's always a concert, or a lecture, or a play at the university. People are so friendly, I'm sure it would be easy to make friends, if I tried. I've taken up this kind of hobby where I pick a random dirt road somewhere and just drive down it into the late afternoon. Toss my camera in the truck and take a picture of the sunset wherever I end up. The clouds that form, and the light, I don't have the words to describe them. Sometimes it's like someone dragged a garden rake through a pile of cotton candy. Or sometimes they're so fluffy and bunched. I've read the formations can be over 50,000 feet tall, but it's hard to imagine how big they are because there's nothing in our field of vision to compare them to. That's sort of what happened today. I started heading south towards Dora, and after a while I turned east. Every few miles or so I made a turn either south or east. But now I had developed a sense of what makes a good location for taking a shot of the sunset, and my instincts told me to keep moving. Each little dip and rise pulled me towards some perfect spot. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see large cumulus clouds moving in from the south. Looking in the rear view while driving, I could see yellow rays of sunlight peeking through. I had time to get to a better spot, but not much. Off to my right, the clouds were getting darker and moving faster. It felt like we were both racing to a finish line up ahead. The air suddenly felt cool and smelled loamy. It was going to storm. I knew the farther I went, the more likely I would be in it. Behind, the view was clear, and the sun was nearing the horizon, but the position still wasn't where I wanted it to be. I hit the gas and the truck rumbled and surged ahead. After another mile or so, I reached the end of the farmer's row and turned right. I mashed on the brakes and stalled out, right in the middle of the dirt road, because of what was in front of me. Do you remember there was this young woman in our first year cohort named Erin? Or maybe Ellen? I don't think she came back after that year, because I never saw her again. I guess she couldn't fit in with the program. Anyway, I remember when we did our presentations on proposed research, she was interested in charismatic religious movements in Native American tribes in the Southwest. She talked about this holy man who had a vision of a dance that would roll up the world of the white man like a carpet and bring back the buffalo. The holy man's popularity grew and he had many followers who danced for days until they were in a trance-like state of ecstasy. The movement scared white soldiers and they massacred many of the dancers. This is what I saw when I stopped my truck. There were four brown columns, each miles apart, swirling from the ground like big dust devils or tornadoes, sucking color up into those dark, cumulus clouds. Leaning forward over the dash, I craned to look up and saw if the formation was well over 30,000 feet high. Despite my better judgment, I opened the door and stepped out. The rumbling noises I had been hearing weren't rocks and dirt from my tires hitting the underside of my truck. It was thunder coming from inside those clouds. If you've ever been in one of those situations where you're standing in the sun and it's pouring rain right across the street, it was like that, but instead of rain, it was tornadoes and thunderstorms right down the road, 100 feet in front of me, spitting hailstones the size of golf balls. It didn't move closer or farther away. Looking at a large black circle about halfway up, I suddenly could see it all in perspective. It was an eye. Not like the eye of the storm, it was the eye of a buffalo. The storm was a buffalo, the legs, the dark hide, the horns, the nostrils, those big black eyes. Looking right at me, it was what they mean when they say you stare into the void and the void stares into you. I knew with absolute certainty that I was not going to continue down that road. It was a physical impossibility. I inched back into the truck, never taking my eyes off that buffalo. Shaking hands turned the key. Thankfully, the truck started. I slowly backed up, and after about 100 yards, I turned the truck around and drove towards a sunset I never photographed and barely even saw, because I was looking at that buffalo in my rear view the whole time. As the sounds of the storm began to fade, I heard other sounds come through, just at the edge of my awareness. It was drumming, and ankle bells, and joyous singing. As I got farther away and it got darker, it got so I couldn't make out the buffalo anymore. I'm back home now, and I'm trying to make some sort of sense of what I experienced. I'm thinking about Aaron's dancers, and I'm wondering, what if there is a version of reality in which the dance worked? What if this reality is the world that was rolled up like a carpet and the buffalo came back to keep us here? I know it sounds crazy, and I can't explain why I would encounter that buffalo on a dirt road south of Portales. I know what I observed, what I heard, and what I felt. I don't think I'll be heading back that way anytime soon. I'm sorry for dumping all this on you after all these years. You're the only person I could think of who wouldn't judge me. You're always so open-minded and patient with your students. Thank you for that. I hope someday I can be the kind of professor you were. I wish I had told you that sooner. Best regards, Dr. Elrin Steele.
El Campo Santo was recorded in the shadow of the Sandia Mountains in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico. This episode was written by John Barr. We are a production of Blackout Theater Company, made possible with generous grants from the City of Albuquerque's Cultural Affairs and New Mexico Arts. If you're interested in learning more about Blackout Theater Company, potentially becoming one of our Patreon donors, check out our website at blackouttheater.com.